This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Station 1.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and you are listening to the Peaceful Planet as channeled by the late Robert Murray. And we are delighted to have James Murray with us, and he'll be joining us in a few minutes. But I have some announcements to run past you and a very special message from Master Saint Germain. So I hope you're having a great weekend wherever you are. It's 6 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, and we've first seen the sun yesterday and today after nearly a week of rain in the Midwest with a lot of storms. Fortunately, no damage was done. There was some flooding around the Illinois River, and Archangel Michael has talked about that with me on the earth changes, and I have proudly announced that I'm going to be releasing my paperback version of Ascension Teachings with Archangel Michael, with many thanks to my publisher, Dorothy Mercer of MercerPublications.com. And it's going to be in full cover color, and it's also going to be in black and white versions, and you can actually hold this book in your hand. Now, I'm mentioning that because I'm going to be teaching again Angel Awakening, which I teach quarterly, and I'm a Reiki master, and I bring the angels into my Reiki sessions, and I work essentially with all of the major archangels. Archangel Michael particularly channels a lot through me, but in my healing work, we call in other angels, and I can sense which angel is with you during a session, and then give you his or her messages. And I work with all of the realms of archangels and lady archangels as well as male archangels, and it's a pleasurable course. I want to briefly talk about that and how it works. Archangel Michael said about my work a long time ago now, "I and my legions of warrior angels stand by to assist earth angels whenever you are in need. Form communities of light, directing seekers to their own light within. For once the connection is made, no one can sever it." So the class is available online through me at my email, and also on ground through a special place that I've set up to host this event next weekend on Mother's Day from 10:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. And it involves training in healing and also in connecting to your intuition, your master spirit guide, and then also to your master archangel, and then practicing on other people in the Reiki class in learning how to tune in to their energies, scan their energy field for disruptions in the energy field, and basically a lot of angiology. So I also teach angiology. I was a former art history professor, so this is very perfect for me because I bring in the artwork of the angels, but briefly it's a history of angels and art and sacred images, and then beginning to sense angels and archangels, and then exploring your own angel guide, the hierarchy of angels, soul groups, and ascended masters, and then learning the language of light. In other words, learning to do automatic writing or channeling or whatever you want to call it. And so before we bring James Murray into the conversation, and it promises to be a wonderful conversation, I'm going to read to you a special message from Master Saint Germain that I received this week. And then James and I will be conversing throughout the entire evening on his latest updates from heaven and how he is connecting with his father. I had a recent experience this afternoon of visiting the other side and actually visiting the castle in which Diana resides in. And James has done these marvelous works of art, and he now channels his father, and he frequently visits his father on the other side. And then we're going to tie that into a discussion about the planet named Umbart, which is one of Bob Murray's books. It's an e-book, and it's available on thestarsstillshine.com. So we're so grateful for James continuing the legacy of his great father, Robert Murray. And I know that Robert and John Lennon and Princess Diana and all the master guides that I work with and that also James works with, because we've collaborated a lot over the years, are all overlighting this program and overlighting everyone listening. So without further ado, I'm going to read this message from Master Saint Germain and open up the phone lines, and then we're going to talk to James about his amazing and wonderful father who gives him these messages from the spirit realms and how it all works, and any other music that we have to share. All our music comes straight from Robert's great and amazing talents, and now James is continuing that talent with his dad. So without further ado, I'm going to read to you Master Saint Germain's message on the United States constitutional freedoms. So we had some distressing news that the Obamacare was repealed this week, and it's not in effect, it's not law yet, but in terms of individual freedoms, Saint Germain has expressed concern about some of the individual freedoms that are eroding away as we speak under this presidency. So we're calling in Master Saint Germain to overlight our program, and also Lady Liberty, two ascended masters that overlight the United States with the violet flame and the ray of transmutation and love everywhere to everyone, regardless of political affiliation. Open your hearts, open your minds, and receive the blessings of the violet flame. So put yourself in a peaceful place. And just imagine their violet flame is around your head. And it goes to anyone that is differing from you at the moment, especially if you're here in America and you're politically inclined. So this is Master Saint Germain speaking. We greet you in the love light this evening, light workers, and wherever you may be around the globe. While it feels as if the light has maybe grown dim and the world may have grown darker, we tell you indeed that it is time to increase your light quotient and to raise yourself up into the vibration of the ascended masters and the archangels. For whilst there are great many light workers and peace workers on this planet so willing to do their work, it is unfortunate that the darker forces appear to still be in control. As we have affirmed through this channel and others of like mind who work with me, the dark is being gradually dismantled and defeated, but it is raising its tentacles to the mass consciousness in order to show itself and to distort and confuse and divide, most especially in America, that country which I watch over very dearly. For I was the silent witness to the signing of the American Constitution, and I tell you this, that Lady Liberty stands with me, and we will not be satisfied with the current conditions in the United States until all has been revealed about the current sitting president and his connections and ties to Russia. As to the other items on this president's agenda, we regret to say that, as we correctly predicted back in the fall, that he is able to divide and conquer, and that he will attempt to make every effort to repress freedom of the press and the freedom of speech and other of the great freedoms, but he will in no way succeed, and you should not become discouraged in any way. Once the full investigation has been brought out into the light, that is presently being worked on as we speak, the revelations about the election and the Russian intervention will become apparent, and the people will demand an explanation and a political solution will be made apparent. While we no way in ever directly intervene in politics, we see that there is a direct threat to the American freedoms that you hold dear in your Constitution, that constitutional liberties that are guaranteed that this administration is not in favor of supporting, and neither, of course, is Russia. So business and corporate entities cannot be favored over individual rights, liberty, and freedom. That's what this administration is all about, and we very much regret to say that more and more freedoms may be eroded until a new leader emerges. That, we predict, will be in about a year to a year and a half. And it's wise to consider that many of the president's plans will not come to fruition, and that many of the revelations about to break so deserve to be heard and investigated by the independent prosecutor. So if you are a patriot, as is this channel, we strongly suggest to you that you light a candle tonight and ask Lady Liberty and the violet flame to cover all America in its transmutation of the violet flame. For freedom surrounds those and you consider ugly, and meditating on a person that you, or an institution or a situation that you find abhorrent, surround them in the violet flame in this way. Also surround the dark cats in the purple flame of transformation. And I am Saint Germain, and I send my blessed violet flame over all America tonight. And your freedom is guaranteed by the Constitution. Never let anyone take it away, as channeled by Marcia McMahon. So with that awesome message, we will continue with our program. And we're going to also open the phone lines for any questions for mini readings. And if we don't have any mini readings, then we will move straight to James's amazing work. So welcome, James, to our program, and for your preparation and your contributions of the music from your site to ours. How are you this evening, James?
I'm doing
great
fine
to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Marcia. Thank you for having me on. It's quite a pleasure.
My pleasure. And it's a great pleasure to also connect with your father. So can you tell us any news from the afterlife, or do you have any pre-prepared messages from your father that you would like to share this evening?
Yes, I have a few. I mean, I've been, as you had said, I've been over visiting. I'm able to visit my father on the other side, and that I also have been communicating with him. And I have one of the latest, I guess actually it's actually from last year, but we had put it into our magazine that we publish, and it's over to see actually quite an interesting book that he has in his library that he showed me. He put it down on his desk. He opened it up, and he said that he should take a look at this, and it's what it is essentially is he showed me a play within a book. It's based on a Mark Twain story.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, would you care to share that with us? And I do want to discuss how you travel to the other side, too, because I traveled to the other side and visited Father Bob today at his awesome house in heaven, and I have quite a story to share, but I want to allow you to share your story. So what about the book, and tell us more about what happened and what you found out when you were visiting your dad.
Yeah, I guess first, I guess you're asking how I travel. That's a very good question. I mean, I guess it's really essentially comes down to the really focusing, and I guess I do a bit of meditating, and then I really, well, of course, it's really essentially the focusing, and I can do the. As my father said, I'm able to do it to do by location to be able to visit the other side, and funny at times he sees me. When I am over there, he sees me, and he sees me fading. You know, I'm there, I'm not there. So I said, I'm getting better at it. But anyway, I was over there to see this book that he had, playing a book, and I'll read the message that we did put in our magazine, and it's called the title of the message is called The Bookshelf. The message by Bob Murray, and this is dated from March 6, 2016. And anyway, I'll read the message he gave to me. Anyway, here I'll start then. A good story makes one forget the late hour. I enjoyed watching the movie The Book Thief with you two, James and Diane. Diane's my mother. Thank you for playing it. The movie was well done. Turn the page here. Pardon me. I know you have been using the e-book reader that I have. It was a big help to me to have it when I was ill. I couldn't get out to buy or borrow physical books, so it was very handy. Mind you, I did and still do enjoy holding a real book, but I was getting weaker and needed to keep my mind busy. You asked if I'm now using an e-book reader device. No, I don't need to use one, although I could. I can read any physical book I want to have at my disposal, and at my convenience. After I discover a new novel on Earth is available and I want a copy, it appears on my bookshelf. I often read new books that aren't yet available on Earth, but are in draft stage or edited stage before being published. I take my books everywhere I go. I can see the book in my hands, and it's there to continue where I have placed my bookmark. Each book is a treasure. Each one has a unique voice, is living, and has its own plan for the author to discover as he or she writes. Some authors already have a whole series already written here, but just have to take the time to complete them on Earth. There are many bestsellers here that have yet to be published on your side. Of course, authors and publishers have free will and can change the book's destiny and story. I have my favorite novelists and nonfiction writers. I would love to tell you what is coming next, but that is not advisable. Some of what I have read will make great movies and plays. I can see that the writer of my words is fading. I'll go now and talk to you again soon. Good night. Love, Grandpa, Sergipa, Father Bob.
Well, you know, that's very similar to the experience that I had this afternoon, which I as I work as a channel, and I've been working alongside Father Bob for years, and we had email correspondence, and of course we co-wrote the songs. He composed the songs, and he had no real musical background. And then John Lennon and George Harrison approached both of us simultaneously back in 2005. Bob Murray is in Canada, I'm in Illinois, and neither of us had any idea that we were both being approached at the same time by the same person, John Lennon, to do continuing of his music, since John Lennon and George Harrison had formed the Half Beats. So to make a long story short, my way of connecting with spirit is just to simply sit down, surround myself in the light, and I used to type the messages in, now I use Dragon Speak. So I speak the messages in, but I'm not generally a full-voice channel. And I've not gone over to the other side quite so much. But Bob Murray encouraged me to come over for a visit to his study today. And he said that Princess Diana had a very important message for me, and she wanted to actually shake my hand. As many of you listeners know, there's a very special dedication to Princess Diana that's going to be airing this weekend on ABC. It's just a tribute to her life, and it's been 20 years since she passed into the spirit realm. And I've never met personally Princess Diana. I've dreamed of her. I had a past life with her in England that Bob read once on air. He could read the records and tell you who you were in a past life. And I got a message from you, James, many years ago. Do you remember that? About my past life in England with Lady Diana?
I believe I had said that. I think my father had given it to me, and I had sent it to you. I believe that's what how it worked out.
Yeah, it's published in my book With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, my second book with Diana, and that book is about to be republished, thanks to Dorothy Mercer. And in that book, I published I have about three or four messages from your father corroborating my work with Diana. And he had said, Bob had said that Michael was talking about Lady Diana, and Diana would come in to the DR, which is the place they hang out on the other side. And Michael, of course, is your deceased...
brother-in-law, yeah.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And Michael is good friends with Diana. So he said that Michael said that Diana came in and she was all steamed about Iraq and George W. Bush and Tony Blair, and she talks about peace and the need for peace all the time. And then she never looks into the records, but she had examined my records and apparently discovered that we had had a past life in England. And I was a society lady, and so she was also, and we were best of friends in England. And apparently Diana lived till age 80, and I lived till age 78. We were both do-gooders, and we used to conduct seances together, so we had a spirit interest then in that lifetime. But getting to the visit that I had today with Diana, it was really magnificent. So I met with Father Bob, and I'll just recap it for you briefly because I want James to have time, but this ties into how we traveled to the other side. So you have to remain connected to the silver cord, and Bob led me, and I typed his words in as I was getting them. So you have to remain connected to the silver cord. That's your kind of your umbilical cord, or your there's a fancy word for it in the Eastern philosophy, and I'm not remembering what they call it, but it's the silver cord. And when you exit your body in the final sense and you die, you will exit out on the silver cord and it will break. But you always want to remain connected to the silver cord while you travel to another dimension. Is that not correct, James? Is that how you understand it?
Yeah, that's one, as my father said, that's one way of looking at it. Yeah, that's one means of keeping yourself grounded on the earth side. And
yeah.
At
so
the same
anyway,
time,
I went over and I saw your father's study, and he had the two dogs with him there, and He had a desk with old-fashioned writing implements, and there were a lot of books everywhere. So it's very interesting. You're describing his book device and everything. That's very interesting. So then, without further ado, we left his house on this little brick road and went through the gate, and I saw all the spring flowers that were up. That was very cheerful and refreshing, and it was sun shining at the time, and we walked up this road, and we went, and we could see it in the distance. There was this huge castle-like thing that Diana and Dodi live in, and then as we approached it, we came to the door, and I suddenly discovered that I was well-dressed, and I was in a indigo dress, and I was wearing fancy shoes, and I had my amethyst jewelry on, and I had prepared myself somehow, you know, just by merely wishing it. And Father Murray said, "Are you a little nervous approaching Diana's door?" And I said, "Well, I am, as a matter of fact," and I could hear my heartbeat going pitter-patter, pitter-patter. And so Father Murray rang the doorbell, and her butler came to the door and allowed us in and showed us to the waiting room. And then some other person came in and served us, well, first greeted us, took our coats, and then basically served us some tea while we were waiting. And then Diana came in and gave me a handshake first, and then she shook Bob's hand as well. And then she threw her arms around me, and she gave me a big hug, and I was absolutely... Well, for lack of better words, I was in heaven.
Really, yeah.
So then she played two of your father's compositions. She played on the piano. There was a beautiful open-air living space that she lived in, and it had floor-to-ceiling windows. It was very elegant, and I must tell you how it was designed, because Bob and I were pretty much floored when we went in, and it was very fancy, and it was very royal. It was a, you know, royal palace of sorts, and she had all her family's pictures, including the royal family, and she had pictures of Catherine and William and their family, Charlotte and George, and then Prince Harry, and then she had pictures of the Queen and other older deceased members of the royal family were there, and then on the other side of the wall, she had her spiritual family. And I must tell you, James, that I was up there, and some of my artwork was there, and she had pictures of you, and she had pictures of Father Murray and Rose Campbell and Andrew Russell Davis and all her chosen channels and her favorite people that she channels through, her spiritual family. And then she had this baby grand piano in one area of the living space, and it was all... She was dressed in pale pink, and she was just glowing with this radiance of pink everywhere. And then she invited the children in to come and listen to the concert. So she gave a concert, and she played two pieces of The Peaceful Planet, and then she played Remarkable Diana. And Bob and I sat there. We were really touched. Little tears were coming from our eyes when she played those songs, and she told us how much she appreciated, you know, all of us that are channeling Diana or doing work for peace. And so she thanked me personally for my work for world peace, and she acknowledged that, you know, it needed to be more heard around the world and so on. But it was just the most touching thing. And then Father Bob and I got to the end of the concert, and she played the famous tribute to her that was played 20 years ago at her funeral, Goodbye, England's Rose. And Father Bob and I got so teared up with that. And then we listened to that, and it was very reminiscent, you know, of the funeral in Westminster Abbey and all of that. And then we got teared up, we got choked up, and then it was time to leave. So she shook Bob's hand again, and she gave me a big hug, and we left the building, and then it started to rain, and then suddenly we materialized a light raincoat, and then we got back to Bob's house, and then I left after that. So that was an interesting adventure, I must say. So this is all Bob teaching me how he travels to the other side and experiences it. So if you have anything to add to that, please do.
Certainly a very, very memorable and quite amazing trip that you took. And I mean, I can picture all that quite clearly. All everything you're describing, and like almost as if I was there. And well, maybe maybe I have been there. I don't know, but.
Well, yeah, you're certainly on her wall. You know, your family picture is on the wall, and Diana is personally thanking you. And I forgot to mention that I did bow to her while I was shaking her hand. I was bowing on one knee because she is royalty, and I addressed her as Your Royal Highness, and it was all very formal. You know, and
I
was a little bit
nervous
the whole time, experiencing Diana as she really is. You know. Because she comes into my thoughts, and she's like a good friend to me. But it's very different when you're on the other side, and you're in the drama of the moment. Because the other side is pretty much identical to the way we do things here on Earth, except it's much more higher in vibration, and they're very peaceful and beautiful and well manicured and everything like that. So, if you can add to that, or you have any other messages that you've prepared. We were going to talk about traveling to the planet Umbart in the Umbart collection. Is that the title of the book that we were going to discuss also tonight, James?
Umbart
collection?
Yes, it's, that is a book that my father put together. It's what it basically is. It's the book is a compilation of messages that he received from my brother-in-law Michael, who passed away. Michael and some of his friends, like one of them included Elvis. Actually, apparently it was Elvis who took a few trips with him to the planet Umbart to visit the planet, and they learned a lot about the what life is like there and their. I'm just going to find some words that I have here. But anyway, yeah, they basically took several trips to learn a lot about the planet. And
Umbart seems to be an Earth-like planet that's a lot more enlightened. So, for instance, they have a lot of solar energy over there. And the method of travel on the Silver Cord, I noticed, was identical. And they were traveling with Nancy. So if you could read one of your messages that you have from their travels with Nancy, either with Elvis or with Sonny Bono. Michael hangs out with all the stars, and that's how I think Bob got the title for his first book, The Stars Still Shine, because Michael was into Elvis impersonation, and then he became friends with Elvis when he crossed. So Elvis figures into all these adventures, and it's really cool. Whether you think of it as science fiction, or you think of it as fiction, or you think of it as real, it's very entertaining, and I highly recommend that all of Bob Murray's and James Murray's books, The Stars Still Shine, Volume 1. There's the Umbart Collection. There's The Stars Still Shine, Volume 2. And the e-zine that you're now writing. Correct, James?
Yes, I'm continuing the magazine that my father and I, our family started several years ago, that was an extension of the messages that my father received from Michael and from other people and writers. And
it's a fabulous
magazine.
Now, you were going to bring through a message. What message is next on your agenda?
Well, you had mentioned you wanted to know about the how Michael has traveled to this planet Umbart, and how, you know, one of his experiences that he's had. And I did I do have one message that that explains how they took the trip, and among other things that they have. But this is really just an excerpt of from the book, the book that we put together, we compiled of all the messages about Umbart, the planet Umbart. And I'll read
this
excerpt if you like.
Please feel free to read that excerpt for us and for our listeners as well.
Okay, sure. This is one excerpt that I'll start off. As Michael says, hello, big news. Elvis and I got back from Umbart. just got back a few minutes ago, and we're just talking about it. I want to take some time to tell you about it. Nancy helped us get ready. Nancy is the, I'll explain about Nancy. She's actually from, originally from Umbart. She died on Umbart, and she's in heaven in the same space as Michael. And anyway, she's mentioned in this message. I'll continue now. So Nancy helped us get ready and talk to us before the trip. And then Elvis said, Nancy wanted to know why we were going to Umbart because Michael had made trips there before. She wanted to know if he had missed anything or if he wanted to see something again. And then Michael said, we told Nancy that we wanted to see more of the Umbart life. We wanted to know more about the people and social things. Nancy said she thought that it would be better if we Nancy said she thought that it would be better if we spent some physical time with a family. That way, we could get the real feeling of life on Umbart. She made some arrangements for us to stay with a family for 3 days. We would be there in person. The arrangements were important. She told us that the talking would be mind to mind, while she called it head to head. No words would be spoken because it wouldn't help us communicate. We were going to think in pictures. She showed us the symbols for the simple commands such as eat, drink, go to the bathroom, and so on. She said there would be a few problems, but nothing we couldn't overcome. Then Elvis said she warned us that some gestures might seem hostile. Shaking a fist might seem like a threat, but it doesn't mean that. And then Michael said, we weren't meant to pack a bag or anything that might get lost. I've heard of airlines losing luggage, but this was really far out. I mean, far, far out. We didn't have to dress in spacesuits or anything like that. However, we had to make sure that we didn't have anything big and metallic on us. Elvis had to change his belt buckle, that's all. Nancy said that metal or large metal objects didn't travel at the same rate as people and clothing. She said that the worst that could happen was our pants would fall down because they weren't fastened. Anyway, no problem, really. So that's an excerpt from the book.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So I remember reviewing Umbart this afternoon, and some of the things that came through very strongly were that you had to stay attached to the silver cord, and then when you were traveling, that is, time traveling with Nancy, and that there were sensations, but that it didn't feel like you were actually moving. And then when they got to the planet, they kind of hovered over the planet, and they could see various cities, and then they landed, and the structures over there were made of a blue-type glass, and it was a planet that was very similar to Earth, so I do believe there is extraterrestrial life and very similar to human life, and, so Umbart has this blue glass that they have made all of these buildings out of, and when you read about it, it's very mechanical. I'm not a mechanical person. I'm an artist. So Bob was describing in detail how the mechanics of Umbart work, and they have, like, solar furnaces, and they have farming, but the farming isn't for profit, so no one goes hungry on Umbart, and they don't apparently have any wars either. So could you talk a little bit more about how they solve problems on Umbart? Did you have a message about that?
Yeah, there's one that this is a message that was in one of our issues of our magazine, and it does describe this one person I mentioned before, Nancy. She, the one who was one time lived on Umbart, and she died, and she helped. She explained to Michael about the how the Umbartans resolve conflicts or problems, and what I'll do is I'll read this message, and it'll help to explain really what they do. And essentially, the message is about playing a role reversal, solving problems that way. So I'll go ahead and read it, and if you don't mind.
Please do.
Yeah,
please
okay.
do.
Okay, this is a message dated from September 25th, 2014. It's from Michael, and I'll go on to, okay, I said, hi. Recently, Dr. Yes and I took another trip to Umbart. Well, that wouldn't have been your yesterday because we don't measure time the way you do. Nancy, who once lived on the planet Bart, wanted us to go to Umbart to experience the peaceful Umbartans. I told Nancy that I knew the inhabitants were peaceful, and I thought we didn't have to go there to prove anything. She told me, yes, we are peaceful, but any idea as to how... Okay, I'm going to read this again, sorry. She told me, yes, we are peaceful, but do you have any idea as to how we settle disputes? Okay, so it doesn't cross my mind that we had ways to settle arguments or that they even had arguments. And then Michael said, so why can't you just tell us how you do it and we can settle in for this nice story from you? Nancy smiled a most disarming smile and knew I was in trouble. Pimby wants you to go to Umbart before she sends you to troubled areas. Well, if Pimby says so then, I must pack up my mind and go and get over and up there to Umbart, then guess I have to go. Pimby came into the room. Michael, I want you to see and hear for yourself just how the Bartons settle arguments. You should absorb the subtle nuances and the unspoken thoughts that underlie the disagreements. They have a Sufi-like philosophy that welcomes other points of view. Is it okay if I take Dr. Yes along with me? He sometimes remembers things that I don't understand. Bambi smiled. Yes, it's a tough job, but somebody has to do it. I asked, you mentioned the Sufi philosophy. What is that all about? Pimby explained, a Sufi lives a way of life that embraces others and different religions. They include people, not exclude people. So I rounded up the doctor, and away we went to Umbart. Nancy offered to go along with us as a guide. In spirit form, she was not visible on Umbart, but could communicate. We arrived on Umbart, landing in the middle of a fruit processing plant. We caused a stir with the workers. After the now invisible Nancy mentally explained our purpose, the workers seemed to take it all in without a major disruption. Nancy explained that there was a disagreement between the director of the fruit processing plant and one of the workers. We were to watch the process. The workers had complained of a shortage of containers. The director said that there weren't any more in the building. And then the worker then questioned the director about his planning. The director motioned for the process with a hand signal, something like a timeout signal we use on Earth. The worker was told to look in the storage room. The worker looked in the storage area and realized that it was empty. As he was looking around, a door opened and a large number of containers arrived. The worker then understood that the worker understood what the director was talking about regarding just-in-time delivery. No blame was given or taken, and the processing plant work resumed. Not exactly a big argument, but things were explained without tempers flaring.
Continue your message, James.
Well, go ahead if you have a question.
No, just go continue the story, and then I'll raise the issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, then the director explained with mental communication that disputes or arguments are often settled by role-playing and position reversing. When any argument gets heated, then the involved Bardens take a time out and reverse their positions or arguments. They take the other point of view and have to defend the original position. Most of the time it leads to a humor and to amicable settlement of the disagreement. Other times, Bardens must take a mandated time away from the argument, usually about a Barton day. Then they have to explain the position to a third Barton who asks questions about the original argument and has the power to settle the dispute justly with words and no punishment for anyone. As I saw it, it seemed to work out very well. They don't have any jails or prisons on Bart, so I guess they're doing something right. Of course, with everyone, including deceased elders, able to read minds, nobody can cover up anything or lie successfully.
Wow. I have to interject a few thoughts here. So that's amazing, first of all, that they solve their differences by the other person having to wear the other moccasin. In other words, they have to put themselves in the other person's shoes and take the point of view. And that if they're really too hot at it, they have to take a whole day off from the person.
That's
brilliant. That is really, really brilliant. Don't we need that for a peaceful planet? Don't we need to consider other people's feelings and put theirs first before we get reactive in our own world? So that would be brilliant right now for what's going on in America and what's going on in the world. There's so much conflict. It seems to... Now, we have to hearken back to what the teaching is here in the Umbarton series, which is really brilliant. And I don't know if this is coming from the oversoul of the late Robert Murray, but I'm feeling your father very strongly present in this teaching. And he was a good teacher. And I think the Umbarton presence in the afterlife, I always questioned that. I thought, that's weird. What are they doing in our afterlife? But I think it's a teaching tool, that they're here to teach Earthlings how things might advance on Earth. So they've got some, you know, really cool approaches to farming. They've got cool approaches to solar energy. And whether you think of it as a fantasy or it's a channeled work, it's a brilliant work. So please continue on with your message, but I had to insert that because it's just so fascinating how they solve their differences there.
Yeah, okay. Just end. Just I guess he ends with the how he mentioned the how they can't they certainly can't lie because the Umbartons can read minds and
there's
like
no
that,
lying
that,
either.
Yeah,
I mean that is so true here. I mean people in the physical here don't realize that they really can't get away with even a white lie because. I'm very psychically attuned, and I was also a teacher all my life, and I could tell right away when a student was telling a white lie to me. And if a friend tries to tell a white lie to me, I can immediately detect it. And I had one friend tell me, oh, white lies don't count, and I was like, oh, yes, they do, you know, because if you aren't of the utmost integrity through and through, you can't have integrity in little things. And Jesus said, and he talked about, you know, the man that can be trusted with little things can be trusted with great things, and vice versa. You can't tell a white lie. So I thought that was very humorous and very insightful. But also, some of the other lessons that the Easing and the Umbart articles reveal are just so, you know, amazing. And I do believe in extraterrestrial life and that this is all possible. I also believe that it could be just a tool of... Father Bob's imagining, but I really, for our listeners, I think they may want to think of it that way, but it's a fun read, and it's very witty, and it's very engaging, and I think it's actually real because of my visit today and how I experienced that bilocation, if you will, to another place and staying connected to the silver cord, which I just remembered what that was called I think in the Hindu tradition or the Buddhist tradition, it's called the Anacarina or the silver cord. So there is a mystical dimension to this that cannot be, you know, disparaged in any way. This is really excellent writing, but it's also got a teaching point of view, too. So it's really interesting. So So did you have anything else that you wanted to share, James, a little bit about similar messages that Bob and I have had from either the late Diana or the late John Lennon in over the years? Or did you have any other messages that were relevant to your easing that you're producing now?
It's just nothing. Well, we have more information, that we're putting into our that we have in our latest magazine.
And what is the latest topic on the latest?
Yeah, it hasn't been published yet, but we're it's quite interesting that we're doing. We'll be publishing a visit my father and Michael made to another planet called Del.
Called what?
The planet Del. It's almost, I guess, the same, almost the same same spelling as the computer name, but it's not. It's I should really change the.
Oh, Del. I was thinking.
Yeah, Del, like Del, you know, Del computer.
D-W-A-L as in die well cool,
yeah,
or something like,
yeah,
that. But okay, so the planet Del. So you're going,
yeah,
to be publishing another story.
Yeah, I have
and
information
is this
about
planet,
that and what happens there. Yeah, they have a little.
Oh, can I ask, or I guess we have to tell the listeners how they can get a hold of your easing and how they can get a hold of you and all the great books that you've produced over the years. So please tell us more about how they can subscribe and so on.
Everything is
nearing the end of the show.
Pardon me? Yeah. Believe it or not,
we're nearing the end of the show, James.
Okay, yeah.
Can
we'll
you
just
believe
have
that?
Yeah, we're having so much fun. Yeah, essentially they can go to our website. That's at the Stars Still Shine. That's D, and then the word stars as in the stars in the sky, and shine, well, still shine, thestarsstillshine.com, and they can find our magazine page there, and it explains how you can subscribe to the magazine and get back issues and
so you can first order some free back issues to decide if you want to subscribe to the e-magazine. And it is truly a great magazine, and the writer and editor in the upstairs editor is John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, and of course not dropping any names or anything, but you have Mark Twain that writes for the e-zine regularly, and then you're channeling your father, and now we have this new visit to another planet. I'm excited to get the next issue, and I've so enjoyed the content of the show this evening, James, and having you on again with Bob. And I feel that Bob's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, and he's the magical guy that's orchestrating behind the scenes, as it were. And we're all on a journey of life, and life doesn't end at death. In fact, it continues. And it's actually a very exciting adventure. And if you have never read the Stars Still Shine book, before you die, you should really read it, because it really sheds a different light, don't you think, James, on the afterlife experience, and makes it far less dreadful than the religions would have you believe, correct?
Yeah, it's got a perspective from my brother-in-law, Michael. Michael's perspective, and several other people have their perspective of what they experience over there. It's although I think somebody else could have an experience over there, and it would be quite different again. But generally, the experiences are most cases, as we found with our the one messages we've received, are that the souls over there try to live the same way as they do on Earth, and try to continue with things that they do, you know, the normal day-to-day things like eating and sleeping and, you know, that kind of stuff, and going to shows, or they can volunteer, or they can continue to work. I mean, there's just so many things that they can do, continue to do, and continue to live, but so to speak.
Endless possibilities. And then your father was lucky enough to have trained you enough to know how to channel, so that he can work on channeling from his desk. And I'm wondering who I'm going to channel through when I make my transition and what I'm going to do since I work with spirit so much. And that's, well, I do a lot of art and I teach a lot of courses, so I'll probably be teaching and doing the same things that I do here. But it's a delightful world in heaven, and there is no fear to be had in death unless you haven't lived a particularly good life. And there is no real final judgment, but of course you get to review your lifetime, and you have a past life review, and that kind of predetermines where you go. But I think a lot of people are really unprepared because they don't spend any time thinking about their soul or what's going to happen to them in the afterlife. And
Rock, you have very little time, just letting you know that.
We have to wrap up the show, and we're going to close out with Remarkable Diana. And thank you so much, James, for joining us, and our listeners for joining us, and join us in 2 weeks. If you need to reach me for the class, I'm available at Diana Speaks to the World. And thank you once again for listening to our show.